Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribharadhari
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribharadhari
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribharadhari
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribharadhari
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamunatiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya Astotra Satasri Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya Astotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Haririvo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16. King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Text 41. Please repeat. Vishama Mati Na Yatra Rinam Twam Aham Iti Mama Tava Iti Cha Yat Anyatra Vishama Diya Rachita Ya Sa Hi Avishuddha Shaishnu adharma,
adharma,
bahula, Vishamamatirnayatra nrinam Tvam aham iti mamataveti chad yad anyatra Vishamadiya rachitoya Sahya Vishudakshaisnur Adharma Bahula Vishamyamatirna Yatra Narinam Tamahamiti Mamateviti Chayadanrata Vishamyadiya rachitoya
Vishamyadiya rachitoya
Sahya Vishudakshaisnura Dharma Bahula Vishamyamatirna Yatra Nrinam Tvamaham iti mama taveti cha yadanyatra Visham yadiya rachitoya
Visham yadiya rachitoya
Sahya vishudaksha ishnur adharma bahula Kamadiya rachitoya Vishudaksha Ishnura Dharma Bahula
Ladies,
Vaishnavis, Vishama, unequal. Your religion? Oh. Okay. So after unequal, in parentheses, it says, your religion? Please repeat. My religion. Your belief, my belief, they're not equal. Mati, consciousness, na, not, yatra, in which, rinam, of human society, tvam, you, aham, I, iti, thus, mama, my, tava, your, iti, thus, cha, also, yat, which, anyatra, elsewhere, in religious systems, other than Bhagavad Dharma, vishama diya, by this unequal intelligence, rachita, made, ya, by which, sa, that system of religion, he, indeed, avishuddha, not pure, Shaishnu, temporary, Adharma Bahula, full of irreligion. Translation, being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under conceptions of fruitive results and distinctions of you and I and yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking that they are Krishna's and Krishna is theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of enemies or the gain of mystic power, but such religious systems, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary. Because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion. Please repeat. Being full of contradictions, all forms of religion, but Bhagavad Dharma, work under conceptions of fruitive results and distinctions of you and I and yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking that they are Krishna's and Krishna is theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of enemies or the gain of mystic power. But such religious systems, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary, because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavat Dharma has no contradictions. Conceptions of your religion and my religion are completely absent from Bhagavat Dharma. Bhagavat Dharma means following the orders given by the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. God is one, and God is for everyone. Therefore, everyone must surrender to God. That is the pure conception of religion. Whatever God orders constitutes religion. Dharman tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. In Bhagavat Dharma, there is no question of what you believe and what I believe. Everyone must believe in the Supreme Lord and carry out his orders. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Whatever Krishna says, whatever God says, should be directly carried out. That is Dharma, religion. If one is actually Krishna conscious, he cannot have any enemies, since his only engagement is to induce others to surrender to Krishna or God. How can he have enemies? If one advocates the Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, the Christian religion, this religion or that religion, there will be conflicts. History shows that the followers of religious systems, without a clear conception of God, have fought with one another. There are many instances of this in human history. But systems of religion that do not concentrate upon service to the Supreme are temporary and cannot last for long because they are full of envy. There are many activities directed against such religious systems, and therefore one must give up the idea of my belief and your belief. Everyone should believe in God and surrender unto him. That is Bhagavat Dharma. Bhagavat Dharma is not a concocted sectarian belief, for it entails research to find how everything is connected with Krishna. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. According to the Vedic injunctions, sarvam kalavidam brahma. Brahman, the Supreme, is present in everything. Bhagavat Dharma captures this presence of the Supreme. Bhagavat Dharma does not consider everything in the world to be false, because everything emanates from the Supreme. Nothing can be false. Everything has some use in the service of the Supreme. For example, we are now dictating into a microphone and recording on a dictating machine. And thus we are finding how the machine can be connected to the Supreme Brahman. Since we are using the machine in the service of the Lord, it is Brahman. This is the meaning of sarvam kalo idam brahma. Everything is Brahman because everything can be used for the service of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is mithya, false. Everything is factual. Bhagavat Dharma is called Sarvotkritsta, the best of all religious systems, because those who follow Bhagavat Dharma are not envious of anyone. Pure Bhagavatas, pure devotees, invite everyone without envy to join the Krishna consciousness movement. A devotee is therefore exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He is the friend of all living entities. Therefore, this is the best of all religious systems. Whereas so-called religions are meant for a particular type of person who believes in a particular way, such discrimination has no place in Krishna consciousness or Bhagavat Dharma. If we scrutinize the religious systems meant for worship of demigods or anyone else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will find that they are full of envy and therefore impure. Translation again. Being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under conceptions of fruitive results and distinctions of you and I and yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking that they are Krishna's and Krishna is theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of enemies or the gain of mystic power, but such religious systems, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary. Because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Paschatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It is a great privilege for me to be back here at Hare Krishna land in Juhu. Once when I got sick in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada said that as long as I remain here, I will not be able to get better. And so I went to Los Angeles, New Dwarka. But after Srila Prabhupada was satisfied that I had recovered sufficiently, he encouraged me to go back home, back to Bombay. Thank you. Now, this verse is very much in the mood of making distinctions. Sometimes we want to blur the distinctions for the sake of some false unity. But actually, such attempts will ultimately fail because the real platform of unity is Krishna, Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service to Krishna. When I first met the devotees, there was a very popular book called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And Srila Prabhupada remarked, I'm okay, but you're not okay. But we want, means followers of Srila Prabhupada and the line of Srimad Bhagavatam, we want everyone to become okay. And therefore, there's, in that sense, there's no distinction. Pure devotees see everyone equally. Suridam sarvadehinam, they're the friends of all living entities. And they see that everyone just by virtue of being part and parcel of Krishna, is eligible for pure devotional service to Krishna. So there's no question of sectarianism. There's distinction, but not sectarianism. Once Srila Prabhupada was in the airport in New York, and a reporter asked him, "Are you Buddhist?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "I am following the truth, and if you are sincere, you will follow too." So it's not a question of designations. Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam. Pure devotional service is without designations. So there's no question that someone is qualified because they have a certain designation, or someone is disqualified because he has a certain designation. Everyone is qualified provided he or she accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to his instructions. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are so many so-called religions based on material designations. And these so-called religions come in conflict with each other. And so many wars have been fought on the basis of such materially designated religions. And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada says, there are reactions against religion. So many people say, you know, religion is the cause of all the trouble in the world, or religion is the cause of so many wars. So that religion does not refer to Bhagavad Dharma, but it refers to materially designated religions on the bodily platform. And they do create problems, and naturally people react. So, God is one, Krishna, and his order is one, to surrender to him, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. And therefore there is only one religion, ultimately, Bhagavat Dharma. But that Bhagavat Dharma must be free from material motivation. This is a very important point. Savai pung sam paro dharmo. Srila Prabhupada often would quote this verse and paraphrase this verse to the effect that any religious system is good as long as it promotes love for God. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So ahaituki means without any cause. That means without any material motivation. And apratihata means without any interruption or gap. Only that type of religion or devotional service can completely satisfy the self. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has discussed what should be a devotee's attitude towards other religious traditions. or towards members of other religious traditions. And he says, and what he says can be derived from the verse, Savai Pum Sam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktira Doksade, that any religious process that accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is free from material motivations, desire for material facilities or mental speculation or impersonal liberation, can be accepted. People who follow that path can be accepted. And people, even within the Vedic tradition, if ultimately they want to enjoy the material world or merge and become one with the impersonal Brahman, they are not to be accepted as devotees. But still, we want to help everyone to realize their constitutional position as devotees. When we were in Indore with Srila Prabhupada for the Gita Jayanti Mahotsav, Srila Prabhupada was appalled by the misrepresentation of the Bhagavad Gita and its speaker, Lord Krishna. While in Indore, he was invited to speak at an organization called the Gita Samiti. And in the hall, there was no picture of Krishna. So after that program, when back at the Gita Jayanti premises, some gentlemen came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada immediately challenged them that the Krishna consciousness movement is here to fight against all improper presentation of the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, for example, at the Gita Samiti Hall, there was no picture of Krishna. Even in an ordinary political rally, there will be a picture of the head of the political party or the candidate who's standing for election. And there's no picture of Krishna. So one of the men responded that, well, there's a deepa, there's a lamp. So Srila Prabhupada said, well, what is the meaning of deepa? Deepa has been worshipped for generations in India. Anyway, we do not worship deepa. We worship Krishna. So there was quite an argument. And this argument, the people who were arguing with Srila Prabhupada represent a type of person that we are likely to encounter if we preach the way Srila Prabhupada preached, if we speak the way the verse here from Srimad Bhagavatam speaks. So they said, you say that you're presenting the Bhagavad Gita properly, and others are presenting it improperly. You should not make such distinctions. You should see everyone equally. So Srila Prabhupada replied, but you are making distinctions. You are saying that I am not to the standard. So you are making distinctions. And then Srila Prabhupada explained the verse. They were saying that Prabhupada should be samadarshina, that he should see everyone equally. He shouldn't say that the Krishna consciousness movement is presenting the Bhagavad Gita properly and others are not. He's saying you should see everyone equally. And Srila Prabhupada replied that verse, one should see equally a gentle and learned Brahmin, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So Srila Prabhupada said, that is a very high platform. Because on that platform, one does not distinguish between the different modes of nature. One does not distinguish between pious and sinful activities. Why is someone born as a Brahmin? And why is someone born as a dog? It is because they have engaged in different activities, pious and sinful activities. So to see them equally means that one is not distinguishing between pious and sinful activities. And I am not on that platform. I say that you are doing nonsense and you should stop it. So these gentlemen were arguing that, you should see everyone equally. And again, Prabhupada was saying, well, you're not seeing everyone equally because you're making distinctions that I'm not seeing everyone equally. So the argument was continuing, and one of the gentlemen raised the point, because they didn't like what Prabhupada was saying. So they said that you should, in fact, at one stage when Prabhupada's, anyway, at one stage they said, well, there are so many mistakes in the Shastra. And Prabhupada said, oh, now you're criticizing Vyas. Okay, then get out. If you're criticizing Vyas, we cannot speak. Then you get out. And said, no, that's all right. So, but then they said, well, but you should make some contribution beyond what the previous acharyas have done. They were suggesting that what the previous acharyas had done was not complete or not perfect, and Prabhupada should go beyond that. In other words, that he should agree with them. And Prabhupada was saying, no, I just repeat what my predecessors have said. I do not go beyond them. I simply repeat what they have said. So the argument was going back and forth. And eventually, one of Prabhupada's disciples sort of, and sometimes it would happen, Prabhupada would get a little, let's say, frustrated, and he'd let a disciple take over for a while. So the disciple was telling him about Srila Prabhupada's work in the Western countries and all over the world, and how people all over the world were taking to Krishna consciousness. And the men actually became impressed. They actually became impressed and respectful. And then they said, yes, Swamiji is actually doing very good work. And Srila Prabhupada replied that this is my samadarshana, this is my equal vision, that anyone can take to Krishna consciousness. And that is my contribution to the previous acharyas, that I have taken Krishna consciousness all over the world and engaged people from all different backgrounds in devotional service to Krishna. So in the end, he fulfilled their conditions, if you will, but not in the way they wanted, but in the reality of parampara and actual understanding of Bhagavad Dharma. I have my own story, which I've told, and I'm not that fond of using myself as an example, but I think the example is relevant, so I will tell the story. When I was in Madras, I was meeting people and preaching as I had heard Srila Prabhupada preach. And after some time, I found that there was an undercurrent of protest against the way I was preaching. And even people who were friends, who were hosting me and who were supporting me, were telling me that you should not criticize others. You just state positively what you want about Krishna consciousness, but don't criticize others. Now, before I continue, I should mention that there's an art to criticizing. This is not meant to open the door for indiscriminate or unexpert criticizing. On one morning walk here in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada, he quoted a Sanskrit verse about how to criticize. And according to the verse, you shouldn't say that the tree is dry or dead, but you should say that magnificent tree that was so full of beautiful foliage and fragrant flowers and so majestic and impressive has lost its juice. So it comes to the same thing, but said in more palatable terms. And on another morning walk, Srila Prabhupada said that there's a great art to criticizing. But unfortunately, confirmed. But unfortunately, some of my students do not know that art. So, and one other example that Srila Prabhupada gave, because I want you to understand the essence, but I don't want you to misapply it. One other example that Srila Prabhupada gave was a veterinarian and his apprentice were called to treat a horse that whose neck was very enlarged. So the veterinarian, the animal doctor, took a hammer and began hitting the horse's neck. And the enlargement went away. So after some time, the apprentice broke away from the master, and he started getting called to treat animals. And he would hit them with a hammer, and he would injure them, and in some cases, kill them. So people complained to the master veterinarian that your apprentice is wreaking havoc. He's going around and hitting the animals with a hammer and injuring them and killing them. You should correct him. So the master called the apprentice and he said, "What are you doing?" Said, "Well, I'm just doing what I saw you do. You cured the horse with the enlarged neck by hitting it with a hammer. I'm just doing what I saw you doing." And he said, "You fool. That was a special case. That horse had swallowed a watermelon, and that's why his throat was enlarged. So I was tapping on the watermelon to break it into small pieces so it could go down his throat. That was for a very specific case. You can't do that in every case." So, but, so, yes, don't go out and cause havoc. But still, we do need to understand this point that there are distinctions. And as the verse says and as the purport says, there's a distinction. There's a distinction between serving and worshiping Krishna and serving and worshiping demigods. There's a difference. So, yes, I was in Madras and, you know, meeting people and preaching as I heard Srila Prabhupada preach. And some friends told me that there's like an undercurrent of protest about the way you're preaching. And you shouldn't criticize others. Just state positively what you want about your own principles and activities, but don't criticize others. And I was getting it from so many sides. I thought maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something. Maybe Krishna's speaking to me through them. So I decided, okay, I'll do what they're all saying. I won't criticize. I'll just state positively what I want about our philosophy and activities. So I went to meet an industrialist who had quite a big compound that had his factory and then one building for his office and then another building with his residence. And so we would, Prabhupada said, if you just show them my books, they'll become life members. So we'd carry a briefcase with the books and with pictures of our activities with Back to Godhead magazine. So I showed him the books, showed him the pictures of our activities, showed him the magazine, and took out the life membership form. And the man said, what about Shankaracharya? You've said so many things about so many acharyas, but you've not said anything about Shankaracharya. He's one of the great acharyas of India. I said, yes. Yes, he is. So, why haven't you said anything about him? So, I kept trying to avoid the truth. But he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So finally, I had to come out with the whole truth that actually Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, who taught a veiled form of Buddhism that was actually atheism. And the reason he did it was to reestablish the authority of the Vedas. But because the Buddhists were basically atheists, he gave an interpretation of the Vedas that was more or less atheistic. But ultimately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and established the real understanding of the Vedas. And, you know, the man had so many arguments. And I thought, okay, you know, it's not working out. So I put the books back in the briefcase, put the pictures back, put the magazines back, took the membership form, put it back, and I was ready to leave. So he was a cultured man. He accompanied me to the gate. And just before we got to the gate, he said, before you leave, I would like to show you my temple at home. So I thought, oh no, he's going to have a Shiva Linga. And, I mean, Vaishnava Namnita Shambhu, nothing. But he's going to want me to, like, you know, offer obeisances to Lord Shiva just as I would to Lord Krishna. And I just didn't have the heart for it. So I looked him in the eye like, do I really have to do this? And he looked me in the eye back and, yes, you really do. So I went in to his house and he took me to his temple room. It was actually quite a big temple room as temples in private homes go. And it was like very big, nice white marble, I believe. There was like quite a high altar. And on top of the altar were big deities of Radha and Krishna. And they were practically the first deities of Radha and Krishna I'd seen in my whole time in Madras, because most of the Vaishnav temples were Lakshmi Narayan. And there's one famous temple of Krishna called Parthasarathi, in which Krishna has a mustache, but he is, it's a Parthasarathi. No Radha Krishna. So again, like I looked him in the eye, like, what is this? And then he said that I and my whole family and generations of my family have been devotees of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And I was just testing you. And I'm very pleased you did not compromise, and I will be happy to become your life member. So, it's all Prabhupada's mercy. So we went back to his office and took out the books, took out the magazine, took out the form, signed the form, paid the whole amount in one installment, and became the life member. So I thought, well, maybe I wasn't doing the wrong thing. But I still wasn't completely sure, because so many people had been telling me the opposite. So I got back to the place where I was staying, and there was an aerogram from Srila Prabhupada. You still have aerograms? No? No aerograms. Oh, okay. Anyway, it was a... something in between a postcard and a letter from Srila Prabhupada. And as I read the letter, I couldn't believe the words, like, just jumped out of the page. And Srila Prabhupada wrote, because I had already written him about the difficulties I was having or the challenges I was facing, and like it just came out of the page, that the fact is that I am the only one in India who is openly criticizing not only demigod worship and impersonalism, but anything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. We must declare it boldly that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others are his part and parcel servants. And unless people are prepared to surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Godhead, they should not imagine that they can have any peace or happiness. And then he said, my Guru Maharaj never compromised in his preaching, and I never compromise in my preaching. And similarly, my disciples should never compromise in their preaching. So this is our line. And the verse itself is all about distinctions and non-distinction. It's all about distinctions that arise from envy and material motives and the bodily concept of life. But it's about unity, no distinction. Unity if everyone accepts Krishna as the Supreme Lord and surrenders to Him, and this is the real platform of unity. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, we must declare it boldly. So, by following in this line, we do good for ourselves and good for others. As Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master told him, that by presenting the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will benefit, and those who hear you and those who help you, they will also benefit. And it's very purifying to preach the truth. If we compromise, it causes some disturbance within us. But if we speak the truth, then it's very purifying and enlivening for us. But at the same time, we should be intelligent enough. Well, first we should be intelligent enough to know if we're intelligent enough or not. That's the first thing. And if we're not, then we should bring the person to someone who is intelligent enough to convince them. So as I was meeting people in Madras, people kept asking me, have you met Mr. Ramakrishna? He's a very pious man. You should meet him. He will like your activities. So I made an appointment with him, and I preached as usual, and he became very agitated that I was saying Krishna's the supreme, and he started to counter me that Shiva's supreme. And he was a very volatile person. He was like getting red in the face, and you could see like his veins were bulging, and he was saying Shiva, and I was saying Krishna, and he was saying Shiva, and I was saying, like escalating more and more. And I could see this wasn't going in a good way, but I didn't know how to get out of it. So anyway, somehow tried to patch things up a little at the end, and I left. So I was meeting people, and I kept hearing the same thing. Oh, you should meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's a very pious man. He'll like what you're doing. So I thought, all right, maybe it didn't go well the first time, but so many people are saying it, maybe I should try again. So I phoned him, and he immediately gave me an appointment. And I thought, well, he might be hearing the same thing. Oh, you should meet the Hare Krishna people. They're doing very good work. You'll like them. So he immediately agreed. So I was trying very hard to be careful not to agitate him. But eventually things came to the same point, and they started to escalate, the emotions started to rise, and I thought, you know, this is going the way it went the last time, and I don't want it to end up the way it did the last time. And he didn't either, but it had a certain inevitable trajectory that was in process. And then Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, I had an idea. I said, you know, Mr. Ramakrishna, I'm just a student. I cannot represent our philosophy properly. But my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, is coming to Madras. I think you should meet him and discuss with him. So he was very happy. We both were very happy because we avoided another explosion. And he was happy because he was getting to meet Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada came and Mr. Ramakrishna met him and I introduced him. And, you know, Mr. Ramakrishna said that, you know, Giriraj and I have been having arguments about who is supreme, Krishna or Shiva. And Srila Prabhupada completely changed the terms of the question. He didn't get into that debate. And he said that there are two words in Sanskrit, puja and bhakti, or seva. And in puja, one worships the deity to get something in return. Whereas in bhakti, one worships the deity without any material motive, just to please the deity. So he said that generally people worship Lord Shiva with some material motive to get something from him, whereas devotees worship Krishna just to please him. So Mr. Ramakrishna replied, but isn't it possible to worship Shiva in the mood of bhakti without any material motive? And Srila Prabhupada said, it is possible, but it is very rare. For example, one could go to a liquor shop for some other reason than to buy alcohol. But generally, if someone goes to a liquor shop, it's understood that they're going to buy alcohol. But he said, but that may be true, but what if someone really did worship Shiva without any material motive? And Srila Prabhupada said that would be fine. And that is also a fact, that if one worships Shiva not to get something material from him, Shiva will bring you to Krishna. I know instances of people, they weren't worshiping him as a demigod to get something, but they were just approaching him maybe because they had some affinity for him or just by association. They were brought to him. But they weren't worshiping him to get anything material. And he brought them to Krishna. He brought them to Krishna. So at the end of the discussion with Mr. Ramakrishna, he was very satisfied. Because Srila Prabhupada didn't get into that, you know, Shiva supreme, Krishna supreme, and that type of arguing. But he brought it to the principle that's also enunciated in the verse. And that is worshiping without envy, without material motives. And in that mood of worship, Shiva becomes Vaishnav. Vaishnava nam yata shambhu. He doesn't function as a demigod, but he functions as a Vaishnav to help us approach Krishna. So by pure Bhagavad Dharma, everyone is satisfied. Ultimately, everyone is satisfied. The demigods are all parts and parcels of Krishna. So if you serve Krishna, they'll be satisfied. And anyone who is open-hearted, even if they're devotees of the demigods, they'll also be satisfied. Everyone will be satisfied. So, Srila Prabhupada is our acharya. Of course, we have so many acharyas in the line, but he's our founder acharya. And he has given us these wonderful books, amazing books, which we're distributing in large quantities in the marathon. So my only request would be that you also read the books. Now, they're not just meant for distributing. As Srila Prabhupada said, distributing my books will keep them happy, meaning the devotees. Distributing my books will keep them happy. And reading my books will keep them. Keep them in Krishna consciousness. So, you know, compared to the earlier days of the movement in India, we have a lot of opulence, a lot of followers. So reading my books will keep them. It doesn't necessarily mean keep them in the temple. But it means keep them in the mood of pure devotional service. Because you can live in the temple and have, none of you, I'm not suggesting any of you, but in theory one could live in the temple and have material motives. And that is not real Bhagavad Dharma. And someone could live outside the temple and be a very sincere, selfless servant of Krishna and the devotees. So we shouldn't think that because we live in the temple, we're superior. But we should always look within and see what is our motive, what is our actual position, and try to purify ourselves. And if we live outside of the temple, we should come to the temple as much as possible and take advantage of the facility of the deities and the programs and the association of the pure devotees. And in that way, free from pride and envy, all go back home, back to Godhead together. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Mahaprabhu Das.
Maharaj, wonderful class after a long time. Maharaj, I have a very serious question on the basis of your class. You said that one should be intelligent enough to understand whether I know or whether I don't know the thing. I am intelligent enough to know that I don't know. Srila Prabhupada said, as you said in the class, that I am okay, but you are not okay. I am not able to understand how to understand that I am okay.
Are you talking about yourself?
Yes.
Well, what makes you think you're okay?
I mean, I should be okay. I'm in the movement for the last 37 years. I think I'm reading Prabhupada books also, but it's not the merely reading book. That time I feel I'm very okay. But as soon as we finish reading and when we are in this material world, I feel I'm not okay.
All right, well, I'll paraphrase something that Srila Prabhupada said and then I'll explain it. If you think you're okay, then you're not okay. And what the exact, there were many similar conversations. There was one right here in Juhu. And Srila Prabhupada said that, because one devotee asked him about, like, when you're perfect. Like, something about how you behave when you're perfect. And Srila Prabhupada replied that one who is perfect will never think he's perfect. As soon as you think you're perfect, you're a rascal. What are you? A rascal. Not you, but... So... And then Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Lord Chaitanya and his spiritual master. Guru More Murka Deki Kaurila Shashana. That my spiritual master saw me as a fool and he chastised me. So Srila Prabhupada said that one should remain everlasting a fool before one's spiritual master and be ready to be chastised by him. That will make him perfect. And as soon as he thinks, I'm perfect, I have nothing to learn from anyone, he's a rascal. So that chastisement can come in different ways, including within the heart. And we should be open to it, and we should be open to being corrected. But at the same time, not every... not every time someone says you're doing something wrong doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. So it's very subtle. We have to, but generally, Srila Prabhupada said, if a number of mature and well-wishing Vaishnavas, give you the same advice, you could consider it to be coming from Krishna. But I think you're okay. Because you thought you're not okay, so that's a good indication that you are okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, Advaita.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. When a devotee is in difficulty, so many people, they come and advise, okay, why don't you take shelter of this demigod for immediate results? Like, for example, if you have electricity problem, you will not go to directly Mr. Ambani, you will go to his office. So why do you want to trouble the Supreme Personality for Krishna, for small difficulties? Why don't you take shelter of some demigods?
Well, the first part is right. We don't want to trouble Krishna for our material difficulties. But why should we trouble anyone for our material difficulties? In other words, we're in the material world, which is full of dualities. There's always going to be happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, heat and cold, good fortune and bad fortune. So the people who want material benefit from religion, who are condemned in the verse and purport, they're advising you, go to this demigod, go to that demigod, wear this gem, go to this yatra, to get something material, because they're basically interested in material gain. They're not pure devotees. They're not the type of people mentioned in the verse as satsang, as desirable company. But even then, if you feel that you cannot, you're like in too much distress, you cannot help yourself from asking for some relief, then it's still better to go to Krishna. In the case of Gajendra Moksha, he was in extreme distress, and in the end he prayed to Krishna for help. But he did so with a sense of regret, that I'm sorry that I have to bother you for this, but I feel I have no other recourse. And Srila Prabhupada says it may happen that in an extreme situation a devotee may pray to Krishna for some relief, but it's always with a sense of regret. But you know, yasyaham anugrinami harishye tadanam shanai, that when a devotee is sincere but he's being held back by material attachments, Krishna may show him special favor by taking away his material attachments. So you may be in that category. You're receiving Krishna's special mercy. And Krishna says that when that person is bereft of his riches and the friends who were friends because of his riches, when he tries to build up his fortune again, Krishna takes it away again. And when he tries to build it up again, Krishna takes it away again. So if that's what's happening, I don't think that you'll be very successful in trying to build up your fortune. But what you really should do, and that's the purpose for which Krishna bestows this kind of mercy, is you should take shelter of pure devotees and surrender to Krishna. And if you're genuinely surrendered and have no material desires, Krishna may give you facility to serve him and to preach. Like Srila Prabhupada said about himself, first Krishna tested me by taking everything away. You know the story. And then Krishna tested me by giving me everything. But the test was, you know, is he going to remember Krishna or forget him? Is he going to serve Krishna or serve Maya? And from beginning to end, he remembered Krishna and served Krishna. So if we... So there are statements in relation to Bali Maharaj and elsewhere that, yes, it's Krishna's mercy when he takes away a devotee's opulence to allow the devotee to surrender to Krishna, not be hampered by material attachments. But the real mercy is when the devotee becomes so pure at heart that Krishna bestows material opulence on him to be used in Krishna's service. But there cannot be any duplicity. It's not like, oh, okay, I get it. So if I surrender to Krishna and have no material desires, then Krishna will give me material opulence. So let me pretend to be surrendered and let me pretend to be without material desires. And then after I fool Krishna into thinking I'm completely pure at heart, then he'll give me all sorts of opulence. So that will not work. We shouldn't try to bluff Krishna, obviously. We shouldn't try to bluff ourselves. We should realistically appraise where we are and where we want to be and systematically undergo a process to get from where we are to where we want to be. But if we're not clear about where we are now, then nothing else will be clear. So that's the first thing, to be clear about where we are now and accept Krishna's mercy in whatever form it comes, because it's all meant to help us. Hare Krishna. All right. Any concluding words from any of our esteemed sadhus? All right. Thank you for your patience. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.